Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous with Sophie Venable, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, and whether you're married with children, single, divorced, poly, somehow all of the above, I am talking to you about life, love, relationships, even parenting, sex, drugs, all of the above,
sex,
holidays.
Drugs. Sweet.
But most of all, love.
Most of all. Oh, okay. Whatever.
Whatever.
How do you know that people are listening to this in the morning? Like,
It's we are 30 seconds into the afternoon.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying good morning because, you know, it's a lazy, rainy day here in Southern California.
It is.
And I'd like to welcome Todd Anderson.
Hi.
Woo! We also have another beautiful and very special guest with us today. Lynn Lisa is a writer and speaker. She has worked in alternative education for over 25 years, teaching children of all ages. Well as adults. She is also a certified holistic health coach, ordained minister, and clear thought consultant, which I can attest to because she helps me clear my thoughts. Lynn homeschooled her own four children all the way through high school and lived to tell the tales. She helps parents free their families from stress to find harmony and happiness. Originally from the East Coast, she now lives in Los Angeles with her hubby and her kids and her doggies, and her book, Chill Pill Mom, is due out early next year.
Chill Pill Mom.
Chill Pill Mom. I know, right? Please welcome. I'm going to give you some applause, too. Oh, Lynn Lisa. Woo! Thank you for being here today. Yes. It's a very exciting day for me.
It is?
Yes. My book came out.
Yay!
It's officially official. It's been available for pre-order on Kindle, and it's now officially available for order on Kindle. You can just have it.
Just get
delivered
it.
Delivered directly to
right
your Kindle.
Away.
So if you're a Kindle type person and you need some reading to do about relationships and like how to find a solid, healthy partnership, then this would be some good weekend reading for you. And if you really, really, really like paperback, that will be available soon. But if you like Kindle, read it and then review it for me, okay? Because that'd be really cool. That would help me a lot.
Yeah, do that. Get on it.
Yeah, even if you hate it, just review it for me because I just need...
But say it was good.
Yeah, but I mean, well, you could write me a personal note and say this sucked ass, but I'm going to give you 2 stars. So, I'll appreciate whatever you do. So, yeah, so I'm excited to finally have the info out. So,
that
yay.
Is cool.
Yeah. Yay. So, Lynn, thank you for being here. I'm so happy to see you.
Thank you. I know. I missed you.
Yes. Is your mic on? Are you closer to your mic here?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I don't think our mic's on.
Really?
No.
That makes it harder.
Try that one.
Try
that
one.
Can you hear me now?
I think so, maybe.
Huh. I think you're a little low.
Like really hug, get into that mic.
Yeah. Get close.
Sit close.
Okay. All right. Technical difficulties here, people. Dun, dun, dun.
How's that? Yeah.
Now I can hear you. There you go.
All right.
Getting a little too cozy in that chair back there. Okay. Posture.
Comfortable.
Posture, people.
Do I look natural?
Yes,
sitting
very natural. Looking good. Wave to the camera. Hey. So, tell me, because I know that this is a passion project of yours. This is like something you are, that's really meaningful to you. And I know you've been working on this book for a while. And so, what's the thing that moms ask you most?
Hmm.
You know, like what made you go, all right, I got to come up with like a curriculum almost, like this is how you do this.
It's so funny because moms often come up to me and they're just really stressed out because you know how hard it is, right?
Oh, yeah.
To be a parent.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I find it really easy.
Kid keeps track of his coat. That's why.
Yeah, right.
It's hard. We have a lot of pressure on us. We have so many things we have to do. And parents are just really strung out with all of the things that we think we have to do, right? We have to create these Olympic athletes who can get into the best schools and be socially loved and popular and academically excelling, and it's just too much. So parents are exhausted. We're tired.
And the kids must be just wiped out. I mean, I know that, I mean, my kids, I have to kind of, my job with my girls, a lot of it is like, hey, this isn't going to matter when you're 30, you know, because I have those kids that cry when they don't have their homework done. And it's not because I've told them to get their homework done. Yeah. I'm very lucky in that sense. They're very self-motivated. But the flip side of that is that they're incredibly hard on themselves, like really hard on themselves.
Yeah.
So if I were to push, if I were to be like, you have to get into college, I can't. I mean, I think they would. Their brains would explode.
There's so much pressure on kids now. It doesn't come from us necessarily. It comes from the whole culture and the whole school environment and everything that they see. I mean, we have, right now we're doing this big scandal, right? All these high profile parents bribing people.
Going to jail.
Going to jail.
For 14 days.
Well, yeah.
With 3 days off for good behavior. Because it was the weekend anyway.
It is punishment. Yes. It's time out. It's a little time out for them.
No. Yeah.
They were bad. But imagine the message that sends to the kids, right?
That it's so important that you go to the right school.
You
that
this is why bribe people when my son is 16, I'm pulling him out of the high school, putting him in the trade school, and then by 2 years, 18, he's got a good job, solid job.
Yeah, is he on board
as
with
an
that?
Electrician. He doesn't know about it. It's gonna be a surprise. Yeah, you know?
Good.
Cool.
Want to go to that first day of school?
Happy birthday!
Like, ah. Yeah. Tool belt as a sweet 16 gift. Pickup truck.
Hey man.
Hell yeah.
Hey man.
That's a great idea.
I know some fine people that are electricians and successful ones at that.
Yeah, they make a lot of money.
They make a lot of
plumbers.
Money.
I tell you, I had a lot of plumbing problems this year. It was
I was going to say, you would appreciate that service. Son, you're becoming a plumber.
But I think you'll appreciate this. I just had a conversation with my daughter, who's in her 20s now, and I asked her, you know, what do you wish I had done differently?
Oh, interesting question. Wow, that is a terrifying question. Did you drink before you asked her that? No.
Next time.
Next time.
I asked her, and she said, oh, Mom, I think you didn't make any mistake. Oh, she said, but you did encourage us to go into the arts. That was a big mistake.
Aww.
Well, it's a timing thing. Artists have really been devalued over the last number of years.
Yeah.
So it's a bad timing thing. But that doesn't mean the art's not, you know.
Well, I've encouraged my daughter to go into holistic healing because that's what she cares about, you know. It could literally be the wave of the future, and they could be the only people making a living. They could be going the way of the artist, you know, or the musician. And I don't know, but what else am I going to tell her to do?
Be like, a plumber, because that will be something that will
always... There's
definitely
job security.
Yeah.
I know.
As long as there is a human race, they need pipes.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
This is
why you're here. Yeah.
But what you're saying is really loving, unconditionally loving. If you want to be a healer, you should be a healer.
Right.
But
right.
What these other parents are saying.
The other parents.
You have to do this thing. You have to go to USC or you have to go to Harvard. Because that's going to make me look good.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here. What if it's not? What if that is loving in their mind? What if they're thinking, I am just setting you up for some success?
So they want the best.
Because I want you, because times are tough, and I want you to be able to feed yourself and your family and feel, you know.
Like,
in their own way, that might feel like love and protection to them.
100%. It is. I know everybody loves their kids, and everybody's doing what they think is the right thing.
That's debatable.
I've just seen some shit.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we do. But I really think everybody's doing their best. Everybody's trying the best they can. But the message that the kid gets is, you don't trust me. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough for you.
Right.
Unless I do this thing or live up to this image that I'm not. I'm not a water polo player, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
As those children who are taking fake water polo photos in their indoor pools? I'm not sure what was
the
happening.
The news to me there is that you can get a college scholarship for playing fucking water polo.
That's why their parents want them to play it. It's like, you should definitely golf or bowl because those scholarships are bomb and there's not too many kids that want to do that.
There's bowling scholarships?
Yes.
You missed out, I think, on
yes.
a lot.
Jesus.
It's no, I'm serious. Great. Like, you can get a serious golf scholarship, but that's been catching on.
Can you get, like, a hot dog eating contest scholarship? Or do they draw the line?
Give
there?
It a few years. Okay. I don't know. Like, maybe in the future.
So I it's might possible. Go back to school.
You could train. You could train, you could just train. In case. Yeah. So where's the balance? What do you think is the key between saying, hey, like, good idea to get your degree while you're still living at home and you have that cush, right? Because a degree is important, we think. I think it's still relevant. And sort of you have to do this or you don't. Like, is it a performance-based love thing? Like, what do you think is the currency for them? Is it attention? Is it love? Is it approval?
Well, here's what I think. I think because we're all doing our best, but we have not been trained in how to unconditionally love people. We've been conditionally loved our whole lives. I think we're overthinking it. That's what I think.
Could be just that simple.
I think the balance is just if you love a person, then you accept that person and you trust that that person knows what's right for them. So like bowling, like you want to get a bowling scholarship so you understand how bowling works when you're learning how to do it. They put up those bumpers.
Right.
So no matter where you throw the ball, it stays in the lane.
Right.
That's what parents are supposed to be.
The bumpers.
Bowling bumpers.
Oh.
Okay.
Good metaphor.
I like that metaphor. Yeah.
So we...
You just kind of like...
Bump them into place, right?
Yeah.
It's okay.
But the lane is wide.
The lane is wide.
Yeah.
So really, it's just so they don't jump over and hurt someone or, you know,
themselves,
completely lose, you know, fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
Just to keep them in there. And so whatever it is, if it's plumbing, if it's acting, if it's singing, water polo, whatever it is that they want to do.
So what if you do have... Let's say you've been brought up with, you really don't know anything else as a parent. You just know working for corporations, getting a steady paycheck, putting away savings, working for somebody else, right?
Right.
And you've got a kid who is a painter. And they're pretty good. Of course, this is all subjective, right? But they want to go to art school. And they want to get a bachelor's degree in art. Okay. And I'm talking about this parent, right? This parent with this mindset.
Sure. I'm married to that parent.
Oh, okay. So help that guy. How do you help that guy help the kids? Like, how, you know?
It's a good question. It's not about him.
Yeah.
That's really the answer. It's hard for people to understand that.
What if he says, but I'm going to support him their whole life? It is about me.
Have you talked to...
No. I had a theater career, you know? Like, I mean, and back then, you know, rent was reasonable and I could actually, you know, live on a waiting table job.
Sure.
And pursue my theater career. But it's quite different now.
Well, that's the answer, really. It is so different now. It's not even the same world that parent grew up in.
No.
My husband's life was very different from the life of kids coming up now. There aren't the kind of jobs that were prevalent when he got out of college. They just don't exist.
Right.
So the answer is, we don't know what the economy is going to be. Did you know that there is such a thing as influencers?
Yes.
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 I am one.
Yes.
I have a YouTube channel called Blersh.
See?
Yeah.
I feel super influenced right now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I'm very good at it.
Is that what's been going on? You've been influencing me all this time?
Yes.
It's subliminal.
Yeah. It's like a Jedi mind trick.
It is.
I didn't know that.
But if a child comes to you and says, I would like to be an influencer, mm-hmm. unless you are Todd, you might not know how that works. Mm-hmm. Mm. That's a pretty lucrative career for people that sure. didn't exist. It sure. didn't even exist. Do you know?
Well, remember the video game design? Like, I'm going to be a video game designer. It's like, what?
Yeah,
those are the people that are working.
Right. Yeah. Well, eh.
Well,
that industry is also
changing, yes.
deeply devalued. Yes. I have a friend who's a video game designer, and mm-hmm. yeah, he's seen a lot stripped away over the years.
Mm-hmm. Has he considered influencing?
Influencing video game designers?
Yeah, I don't think he has the time to influence anybody. I see. He's too busy.
What do you think is the biggest challenge that families are facing now? Let's say families with 8 to 15-year-olds. Mm. Okay.
Well, you might be able to answer this better than I can, Todd.
Because I have a 14-year-old?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I can't answer that. I saw somebody say this on social media somewhere the other day about, you know, when older generations are critical of younger generations and their parenting skills. And the point made was, well, this world is completely different
yeah.
than the world that I was brought up in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of those things aren't tools that I can use anymore because mm-hmm. everything's so completely different. I mean, for me, the thing that I'm terrified the most of for my son, and you know, my wife and I sort of grapple with what the boundaries are, is social media stuff, mm-hmm. it's yeah. internet stuff. Yeah. I mean, all that. Like, we were very hesitant to allow him to game with people on his mm-hmm. headset. Now he does, but we try to monitor it and who he's talking to and all that. And in as many cases as possible, he's playing with people we've actually met mm-hmm. in person.
Yeah.
But he has a couple of friends who are in other parts of the country who like joke around and play games with him. And they sound like kids, so I assume they are.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, I really don't know. So that stuff scares me. And you know, the way, obviously, I think it's so prevalent now, the way people are influenced by social media mm-hmm. and the influence to hurt themselves, hurt other people, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. influenced into severe depression and all that. And mm-hmm. I don't think that all of that there's something wrong, intrinsically wrong with these young people.
Right.
It's just, and as parents, like, we don't, it's unprecedented. Like,
right.
the way, just like the political climate and the social climate and everything over the last number of years is so different because we have these crazy tools that we didn't have before. And I don't think anybody really understands what they're doing to us or what they can do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of,
that's what I think.
Wild West.
I've noticed that because I have two daughters, and so we've been talking about social media, Instagram. You know, they're both swimmers, bathing suit pics, things. You know,
sure.
For years, mm. years and years, and like since they were very little, and really, I think that when you instill your kid with a certain amount of intrinsic value, right, like you're saying. And then you talk to them about the potentials of this is why we don't want you to game, because there are people out there, like it's unfortunate to have to tell your children this, but you have to say there are people out there that want to sort of trick you and, you know, make you feel like they're safe and, you know, not, they don't, you know, they don't always have good intentions. And so if you ever feel anything weird or unusual about anything, then, you know, trust your gut and tell me, or, you know, you're not going to get in trouble, or, you know, there's this... Yeah. There's this, kids are actually, they have a certain amount of self-preservation if they feel valuable, right?
Yeah.
They're like Grand Canyon.
Mm. Oh, that sounds scary.
Oh, God, it was terrifying.
Oh.
I was, and no, here's the thing. I was steering the donkey, like around these corners. Like
sure.
I was like, you know, and I mean, I never relaxed. My body was, I was only 12 and my body was so sore the next day because I was just like, terrified.
Yeah, that sounds horrifying.
But I was steering the donkey, and then, like, of course, by the time we get down to the bottom, the guy's like, you know, they don't want to walk off the cliff.
Right. They're not going
to. You don't actually have to steer them around the corner, you know? And I was like, okay. And so
So I tried to remember that to a certain degree, that, yeah, our kids don't know necessarily. They have trouble predicting the future. But I sort of treat it like, this is my job. My job is to sort of teach you and keep you safe.
Right.
Right.
Right. So to be the bumpers.
Yeah. Yes. But you're right. I think social media is the hardest challenge right now. I see a lot of kids outside the library, fifth and sixth grade kids hanging outside the library after school. Mm-hmm. Their parents drop them off there to do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Violet, good job on the multiplication. Violet, what's 9 times 10? All day. But they're on social media the entire time. Mm. And their parents, as I've learned by listening, don't allow them to be on social media at home.
Oh.
So they're TikToking, Instagramming, and all of this stuff when they're together.
Uh-huh.
And the challenge is that, unlike when we were fortunate enough to grow up, we could be made fun of in the moment, mm-hmm. but they can be made fun of globally forever.
Yes.
So
right.
there's someone snapping a picture of them doing something silly or embarrassing, and then it becomes a meme, and then it becomes a video, and then it goes mm-hmm. viral, and it's just out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a challenge. And honestly, I think one of the main things that people ask me is how do we all unplug from that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you can't unplug from it permanently, but if you can take breaks,
mm-hmm.
you know, because what I see most of all, have you guys seen this? When you see a mom or a dad out with their kids, it's the parents who are plugged into the phone mm-hmm. and the kids
sure.
are like, hey, you know,
I see that a lot, actually. I do. And sometimes, you know, sometimes those parents are parenting their other kids in the moment.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I try not to be too judgy about mm-hmm. it,
sure.
you know, or
yeah.
they're handling something or, you know, unfortunately, people have to, like, work while they're
oh, yeah.
you know, doing stuff. But, yeah, I think that what is impressive is how even 20 minutes and acknowledging yeah. it and saying, okay, honey, I'm off my phone now.
Mm-hmm.
How was your day? Like, and kind of like actually acknowledging it. Like, I'm putting this down because I want to pay attention to
yeah,
you.
Being mm-hmm. present.
You know, just I'm present with you now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that it's those little gifts that help the child so much feel like they matter.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know Ann Tyler, the novelist? She wrote all those great books, Ladder of Years. She's a beautiful
Are you there,
writer.
God? It's me, Margaret.
No. Judy Blume. That's
oh,
Judy
no.
Blume.
Okay, never mind.
Ann Tyler writes adults.
Okay.
Books for adults, not porn. But, you know, books for adults.
Okay.
Not adult books. It's
right.
so hard,
it's
all
so
these
hard.
Names.
Do I want to read these books? I don't
these
know.
Are beautiful books. She says love isn't about how much you love someone, but how you show up for them.
Mm. I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
And that's true for everyone. It's not just your children. It's everyone that you love. If you are there with them and accepting of them.
Yes.
And really hearing what they're saying and being with them, they're not going to be making those kind of decisions that you don't want them to make as often.
I would agree. Let's take a 1 minute break and we'll come back and talk about specifically what feels like love.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Sophie Venable, and thanks for listening to MILF Talk. If you are a single woman wanting to draw an awesome relationship into your life, check out my new book, Intentional Dating: How to Stop Dating by Default and Attract Your Best Life Partner. This book will provide you with insight into yourself and into men and this whole thing we call dating. Figure out your blocks, get clear about what you want, and learn what actually makes a relationship work. There are amazing, kind men out there wanting to be appreciated and wanting to appreciate you. Intentional Dating is available for your Kindle, and you can order it today on Amazon. Go to Amazon and search Intentional Dating Sophie Venable, or use bit.ly link Intentional Dating with a capital I and a capital D. You can also find free and almost free resources on my website, sophievenable.com, including a texting guide, divorce guide, and a 21-day breakup recovery challenge. Thanks for listening to MILF Talk, and now let's return to the podcast.
That was a little rumba for your pleasure.
I like that rumba.
Yeah, wasn't that nice?
Yeah, it's good.
I liked it too. So,
you know, on the phone thing,
uh-huh.
I just heard about I can't remember what it's called, but there's this thing you can get. It's like a box, and you can put your phone in it, and then set a timer, and it, you cannot open the box until the timer is up.
That, I think, would stress people out so much. What if it broke?
Like, well, yeah, that might be a problem. There's got to be some kind of fail-safe.
That would be an amazing, what do you call it when you, like, exposure treatment?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. For like, the anxiety that people have. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than losing your phone or not knowing. There's, you know, we're all just so... I mean, I've got mine on my fucking wrist right now. Yeah. That's crazy.
The person who told me about it, she said she uses it when she wants, like, a cookie. And she'll put the cookie in there and set the timer for 5 minutes. And then it once it opens up, if she still wants the cookie, then she'll eat it. But sometimes just putting the cookie
what
in there for 5 minutes.
What is the name of
minutes,
this box?
Like, I
we
don't
have to find
know.
Out.
I have to ask her.
I've got to find out. I want them to sponsor the show. I'll talk about it all day long. So I put the whipped cream in there. And then it came over and it was like, oh, shit, I made a mess. So
I have questions about that for later.
Okay.
Off mic.
I had to say whipped cream. I'm thinking about Thanksgiving and pie, people.
It's pie season.
Stop it.
Lynn,
you
Lynn's
naughty, naughty
dirty
girl.
Dirty mind.
All right. So golly. So I want to, I'm going to talk about myself for a minute. I mean, I do have a book coming out today. So, I mean, you know, but I'll give you my personal opinion about love and what feels like love, right? I have this thing I call the AAA relationship, and I talk about this in my book. And the A's are authenticity, allegiance, and awe. And the awe is the passion part, and that's what makes your relationship unique from your other relationships in your life. But the authenticity and the allegiance are really what feels like love over time. Letting somebody fully be themselves and feeling like you can fully be yourself with somebody. And this is huge between parents and teenagers, huge. And the allegiance part is not about agreeing. It's not alliance with a common way of thinking. You can think very differently about the world, and you probably do than your kids, because, like we said, growing up in a different world, is being committed to a common cause. And that cause is each other's growth and expansion. And that can be difficult and scary, because sometimes their growth and expansion might feel threatening to you. It might feel scary to a parent that it might not be what they think is right for that child. Or it might make them, you know, like when my daughter says she wants to go to Boston University, I'm like, but that's so far away. So, So, but I can't go like, no, you don't want to go there because of all those Patriots fans. I just say you can go as long as you don't become a Patriots fan. Then we're okay. So that's how I handle that. And it still feels like love. So I'm still on her side. But yeah, we're going Cal Poly slow. Yes, I hope.
Okay.
So just my personal preference. But again, it's about being authentic and having each other's back. To me, like you said, showing up. That is the actual... describable, tangible experience of love. I can really be my whole self, and you've got my back. And I want to have your back, and I've got your back, and I want you to be authentic, right? And that, people ask me why I have a good relationship with my daughters, and I say that because they can be themselves about anything, including sex. You know, we're so freaked out about our kids becoming sexual beings. You're literally going to put a wall between you and your child if they think there's a whole facet of themselves that they have to. I'm not saying they have to tell you everything, but I mean that they have to be ashamed of or hide or, you know, like it's a huge, huge chasm.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And so my kids' friends come over to my house and they just, you know, speak freely. And, you know, I do the bumper thing. I like that. I do the bumper thing. Stay in the lane. Here's the... Because then you can actually talk to them about the consequences.
Right.
In a real way.
And they trust you.
Yeah. Right. And they can be authentic. And you can say, like, you're not a bad person for having those feelings running through your body that you can't even control. Right? Yeah. But let's talk about it. Yeah. Talk about how to be safe or how to say no if that's what you want to say, and how to do, you know, like, let's talk about that.
You know? And you are trusting them to know what is authentic for them. So when we were growing up, I don't know what your childhood was like. I was very fortunate. I had very, very loving parents, but not unconditional. And it's not their fault.
Right.
Because they weren't raised unconditionally either. But there was a great deal of not trusting. You know?
I know better.
Yeah.
Right?
That's how parents were
sure.
in that generation.
Right.
They knew, and we were supposed to obey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of things that were against the rules. And if you broke the rules, then there was some kind of withholding of love.
So, yes, right. And that right there, that's the punishment that's the most traumatic for a child, is the withholding of love.
You know, as opposed to a consequence. Even if it was temporary.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I'm mad at you for 10 minutes and I'm not talking to you, but it's very painful.
Yes.
And then it creates this situation where you're a people pleaser.
Right.
I'm going to follow the rules so everybody likes me.
Right.
Which is not the safest thing to
do. No, we have to know that we can love somebody that we're angry with. Like,
yeah.
Like, and those are, I think, important words to even say to your child. Like, I love you, but I'm mad.
Sure.
Like, right. I think that these are, we have to understand that these two things can be held in the same space.
Right. Yeah.
Right? It's not that I don't love you for those 10 minutes. It's that I'm just real mad
right
now.
But sometimes when we say, I love you, but I'm mad, the words don't match the way we're showing up either. Sometimes it doesn't feel loving.
Well, sure.
To people. But if you think about who the only people on the planet who are really good at unconditional loving are, it's children.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You remember, I don't know if you remember when your kids were little, but I remember taking my kids to a playground or something, and they would be running around with a new kid, right? My son Tommy used to do this all the time. He'd meet a new kid, fall in love with that child. They would play, and when I said it was time to go home, he'd say, no, I don't want to leave my best friend. And I'd say, well, what's your best friend's name? And he'd say, I don't know. Did not
so
care.
Cute. I love that.
Didn't care anything about any of the labels that we care about, what the kid looked like or what his ethnicity was or what his or her name, nothing.
How just much money their parents made.
Yeah. Nothing. Thick waist, thin hair, tall, nothing. Just, I love this person. I am so enjoying being with this person, right? And they do that with their parents. Babies, unconditional, they're, poor babies, they're so dopey. They can't do anything, right?
No.
Poor little things.
They take a lot of shit.
It's tough being little.
They they can't do anything. They can't walk or talk, but they love and trust. Fully and wholly. And they don't care what you look like. They don't care how loud you talk. They don't care if you curse a lot, if you smoke. They love you.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of relearning that from them, we condition them.
We condition it out of them.
Yeah
right?
Yeah. Like you should love only when people do the thing you like or only, it's not okay. So we have to go back, I think, and unconditionally love ourselves first. Which is really hard. That's the hardest thing. So I think to practice, we should all practice with something super easy, like a fern or a rock.
Like, unconditionally
love
it.
You're going to have to, yes, you have to explain this further, please.
Well, how easy
is
it?
We have a fern rock exercise.
Do you love yourself unconditionally all the time? Because I got to tell you, I do not. I look at myself sometimes and I...
Well, I have a whole debate about this whole concept of loving yourself unconditionally.
I know you
do. Yes, I don't like the term. I think that we can be patient and curious and grateful and all of those things more than, or we can be in resistance to that. And I just don't think it's this like linear process of like, I'm going to get to where I love everything about myself unconditionally. And then, because love is unconditional. Love is just a force.
Yeah. But you don't think we can love ourselves?
Oh, I do think we can. I think we are love. I think some days we're more love than others.
Yeah. And those days when it's really hard and when we're struggling.
Yeah.
That's a good day to practice on a fern. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
Right.
It's not going to talk back.
Right.
It's not going to do anything you do not like. It's not going to make a mess on Thanksgiving morning.
Yep.
When you're trying to get everything together, it's just going to sit there and
did
be
you ever
fun.
See that Steve Martin movie, The Lonely Guy, from the 1980s?
No.
With him and Charles Grodin. And they, like, Charles Grodin's a lonely guy, giving him advice on how to be a lonely guy because he's new to it. And he's like, you got to get a fern. So they have pet ferns. Yeah, at one point they go, have your fern say goodbye to my fern. Oh, bye, fern. And then they wave their ferns at each other.
See, somehow that reached critical mass and she like picked it up. Right? And it was like, now she's talking about having a fern friend.
It doesn't have to be a fern though. If you prefer a cactus, I mean, it really doesn't matter.
Well, this is something that pets really help people with.
Yes.
Pets are... They are unconditional love. They just are little love balls.
Well, dogs, right? Not cats.
No, cats are, sorry.
Cats.
Okay, I have three cats. Mind.
Yes,
I
know. But they're not unconditional. They have a lot of conditions the way they love you, cats.
What do you mean? Like you have to give them food?
Yeah, and it has to be covering the
dog's not going to love you if you don't give it food. I mean,
dog loves you no matter what.
Okay, this is going to turn into a dog versus
no.
cat.
I love cats.
I love dogs. They're
not unconditional is all. You know how cats are. They like right in your face. Meow.
Well, okay. But as I'm going to just get t-shirts that say this, love is unconditional, relationships are conditional as fuck. So... A cat's relationship with you is conditional because they will pretty much just tell you to fuck off in their own cat way and like walk away.
Yeah.
So you don't get to pet me today.
And then barf on the carpet. They all make that noise.
Yes, and you know.
Yes, but they are easy for us to love unconditionally.
Yeah. So that experience, and I think but see again, I think that's about being in love, being in that which is love. So, if you go out in your garden and you water your plants and take care of your plants, yes, that can actually change your actual energetic magnetic field, mm-hmm. right? And you can, because you are now more in alignment with love, you're literally calming your nervous system and you're just being one with nature. And that's why we're so out of nature and mm-hmm. we're so out of alignment with that energy that's part of, I mean, it's literally valid. Go love a fern. Yeah. Like just... do something, anything that allows you to be in a more, like a less resistant space.
Should probably keep the love platonic with the fern, though.
Probably, yeah. I think. I mean,
until 50 years from now when we've gone past the laws about that sort of thing. Okay. But yeah.
Are there laws about humping plants?
I don't know.
You mean natural laws? I mean, there's probably not a law against that, I guess. But
is it important to you to know this, Todd?
You go.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I have a lot of nice plants in my backyard.
But it's the laws that are stopping you.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. Okay. I don't want to get thrown in prison.
You know,
14 days
for fern fucking.
Right. I just want, as a friend, I just want to warn you that you do have some cacti in your backyard.
Oh no, so I'm not gonna.
For those, you should, you know, just want to say, don't get into an abusive relationship with your cacti.
Plus, I thought you learned your lesson with mm-hmm. the poison oak.
Yes, that's true. I shouldn't have rolled around in that poison
naked
oak.
Yeah.
So.
Mistake.
Let that be a lesson to everybody listening.
Yes.
Don't roll around naked on the forest floor of Malibu.
And don't let your kids do it too. Okay. Yeah. So
different kind of love.
Wow. We're going to take another break. I should separate you two. So we're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and talk about mistakes.
Hey, this is Sophie Venable, and thanks for listening to MILF Talk. If you are a single woman wanting to draw an awesome relationship into your life, check out my new book, Intentional Dating, How to Stop Dating by Default and Attract Your Best Life Partner. This book will provide you with insight into yourself and into men and this whole thing we call dating. Figure out your blocks, get clear about what you want, and learn what actually makes a relationship work. There are amazing, kind men out there wanting to be appreciated and wanting to appreciate you. It's Intentional true. Dating is available for your Kindle, and you can order it today on Amazon. Go to Amazon and search Intentional Dating Sophie Venable, or use bit.ly link Intentional Dating with a capital I and a capital D. You can also find free and almost free resources on my website, sophievenable.com, including a texting guide, divorce guide, and a 21-day breakup recovery challenge. Thanks for listening to MILF Talk, and now let's return to the podcast.
How do you like my production value, Todd?
I love it.
I made it myself.
It's a fancy commercial. It's very fancy.
It's the rumba. Anytime you have a Latin beat, everything is better.
Oh. It's true.
It's true. That's a little life lesson for you right there.
I got that.
Do everything to a Latin beat.
Mm. Okay, we're done here.
Okay. It will bring more joy into your life.
Oh, I love it.
So let's talk about this. This is the first time I'm going to hear the answer to this, really, because, what mistakes did you make? What mistakes did you make, chill pill mom, with your own kids and or students?
Well, so
and what did
much,
you learn?
How much time do we have? Because
we've got about 10 minutes.
All right. Okay. Great. I'll try to compact all the many mistakes.
Yeah, because how many kids do you have?
I have 4 children of my own, and I have taught many, many children, and I am sorry, children, about all the mistakes I made.
But your intent was so good.
My intent was good, and that is what I told my children, who are now in their 20s mm-hmm. and still standing, which is a miracle, right?
Woo-hoo!
So
not,
the mistakes weren't that bad.
Right, right. Everybody's cool.
But I told them, when I mess you up and you have to go to therapy, just tell the therapist, inevitably when what did your mom do comes up, tell the therapist that the mistakes I made, I thought were the best for you, not the best for me. I wasn't trying to make my life easier. I was trying to do what I thought was best for you.
Mm.
But in doing that, you know, gosh, I, from the very beginning, my poor pancake child, my firstborn daughter, you know, when you make a pancake, the first one and
Right. Yeah, it's the pan warmer, basically. Yeah. Gets the yeah.
My poor baby. I know.
Oh, yeah. Firstborn, you know, they're sturdy.
She's sturdy. She's an amazing human being, yeah. But I'm
a fucked up pancake, too.
Are you? I am, too. Yeah. Pancakes.
I'm the 4th pancake.
Oh, my gosh. They so knew what they were doing when you came along. They didn't even look at you, right?
No. There's very few pictures of me. No, I'm kidding.
They just put pictures of your sister with your name on it.
Yeah, right.
That's the mistakes I made with my firstborn were things like I believed everything I read, right? So I was constantly trying to educate her from the minute she was born.
Mm.
And I overstimulated the hell out of that poor child to the point where she's still kind of, I think, a little bit gun-shy and anxious. Because of that, I never really gave her a minute's peace.
Mm.
You know, I was just always teaching. And finally, I think she was probably about 7 when she finally just got so sick of me. She just said, Mom, stop teaching. And I'm like homeschooling mom. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? But that's when I really finally heard her just get out of the way.
Yeah.
Just get out of the way. Because I was always in there like, this is this. And here's a teachable moment.
Oh, right. Teachable moment.
We're in the store. Let's weigh the potatoes. And after a certain point, it's like, can we just buy the potatoes?
Right. Can we just be? Home? Yeah. I can learn about the potatoes by watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was too on top of constantly trying to educate, teach. And when I finally got out of the way, and believe me, it wasn't linear. It wasn't like that day I learned it.
Right.
I'm slow.
Well, I would think that especially homeschooling, it would be hard to shift modes, you know, because you've got a quick brain. You're probably like, oh yeah, we talked about this today in math. Okay. You're relating.
What about this? And the other thing was, as I was raising my children, a very exciting thing happened in the world. Google.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I'm pre-Google, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my children came along and Google happened in their lifetime,
mm-hmm,
which changed everything.
Yeah.
Because sure.
Before that, if somebody had a question, they had to ask it. And you young people are not going to believe this, but we had to write it down with paper on pen and then take it to the library like 3 days later when it was open.
And look in a card catalog.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I told Mark that in third grade or something, I wrote a paper on Babe Ruth. And he's like, you wrote a paper on Babe Ruth? I'm like, yeah. And he was like, how'd you do that? I'm like, Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
I had the blue set.
Ooh, in your house.
In my house.
Nice.
I know, fancy, right? Yeah.
Did you ever look anything up on microfiche? Oh, remember yes, those machines?
Of course.
Yes.
That's when Google replaced.
Right. Yeah. That's when I was at Cal State Northridge, and it was like a big deal if you had to go like to the microfiche room.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. But it was always kind of exciting. It was like a little like.
It was. It made me kind of motion sick.
Yeah.
When you had to like roll through the articles really fast. Yeah. I'd go, oh, it feels so good.
It's sort of like, let's talk to people so they understand it. It's like scrolling.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's like scrolling really fast through your feed, but you have to read all the information and then write a paper on it.
Yeah, and there's little knobs that you spin to make it go.
And
to
no
the next
cool
page.
Pictures, no pop ups.
No.
No, and you can't really get a copy of it.
Right? No.
You have to put the information down as you find it. Because once you put that roll away, you can't make a copy of it.
Right.
It's not like there was a printer attached.
Yeah.
I wonder if they probably did eventually get a printer attached or something. But yeah, but it was crazy. I mean, now that's the thing about putting your phones away at dinner, right? Is that you can't, like, there has to be a rule of like, even if we're trying to remember the name of a movie, it's like, nope, you don't get to look it up. Nope.
That's right.
Nope. We're just going to have to not know
for 2 seconds.
Oh, it's hard.
I do a podcast with a friend of mine, and we get together and we just talk through terrible movies. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our agreements, is we don't
get
look
to look
stuff
it
up. Because it's this old school conversation of, well, what was the name of that dude in that thing? Come on, why can't I think of it? That's lost, and it's kind of fun.
That's the most fun way.
And sometimes you get it wrong, and that's fun too.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, like, if you look something up, you're basically abbreviating your connection, your conversation, your like little
your moment. You both know what you're talking about.
Trying to put your heads together.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, let's not put our heads together. Let's just get Google. And you're like, but I wanted to put my head together.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, and there's nothing to laugh about then.
No, exactly. And there's fewer jokes, like, once you just have the answer.
So tell me, because we're getting a little close here to the end of the show, I want you to just give us a little spiel on what your book focuses on. And, tell us how to be less stressed out as parents.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
So much of it is like your allegiance and authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting in touch with what's real and true. And like you were saying, being in touch with nature, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of ideas for how to practice unconditional love and how to practice being together without being plugged in. Not all the time, just sometimes. Just once in a while, a little bit of practice.
Nice.
Some experiences. And remembering why you had children in the first place. Because it's really easy when we're pressured to get them on the water polo team to forget that that's not what it was about.
Why did we have children in the first place?
Because we were having sex.
I wanted to have children.
No, they were both playing. I actually got knocked up both times I tried.
Oh.
I know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. I know. I feel very, very fortunate.
That's awesome.
And they're awesome. And you had one.
I did. I had one. And and I'm good with the one.
Got one perfect one.
Good
it's all good.
With the one. He's awesome. It's great.
Now, Mark and I always laugh because we have 6 kids between the two of us, and there's not an asshole in the bunch. Those are pretty good odds.
Those are good.
But that's not an accident. It's not an accident.
They are all very authentic with us, I would say. I think they tell us most things and feel pretty safe doing so. So, I mean, you're raising adults, right?
Yeah.
That's what you have to remember. They are going to leave.
They are. Yeah. But they're not adults.
Right.
And so we have to be very gentle when they're not, because it's a really short time we get them.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a shame to be constantly thinking what's going to happen when they're 30. Like you say, sometimes these things aren't going to matter when they're 30.
Right.
But things matter.
Right.
Things like the relationship that you have with your kids matters.
Do you talk about like the kind of the fine line between being gentle but also creating like follow through with rules and discipline that are constructive? I think that's the balance that people struggle with.
Yeah, it's hard to know what boundaries are the ones you should set and when you're being overly controlling.
I don't know. My children were very clear with me when I created boundaries that were not good for them or safe for them or were too controlling because they would just tell me.
Yeah.
My daughter, when she was 5 years old, got on her two-wheeler while I was changing the baby's diaper and packed a backpack with a blankie, a toothbrush, her pajamas.
Aww.
I know. And her doll and rode away. She rode away.
That'll learn ya.
I know. I came out and I said to my three-year-old, where did she go? And he said, she's gone.
Oh my God.
I know. And we got in that car and we chased her down and we found her and she said, you are the meanest mommy in the whole world.
Aww.
And it's a big world.
That's a big world. You're like this. Yeah.
That's serious.
But you're the only one she's got. Yeah. And that's what you should know out there is you are the only ones that your kids get to call mom and dad. And so you want that relationship with them. If you want to connect with Lynn, I believe she is offering a free 30-minute consult. And you can find her at lynnlisa.com. That's L-Y-N-N-E, lisa.com. Yes, yes. And Instagram at lynnlisa. Same for Facebook. And if you want to find Todd and scoop his private life.
There are many ways to do that.
There's many ways to do that. You know, you can follow him around. I can give you his license. Just ban me.
I can't believe we got through this whole show without talking about perineum sunbathing, this new health craze.
Oh, well, we can talk about it next week.
I'm coming back for that.
Are you coming back from that? I mean, oh, God, there's so many things we're running over, and there's bleaching, and, oh, God.
Have you seen these photos?
No, Todd, we have to end, for God's sake. All right, if you're out there and you're single and you're dating and you like my advice, then please buy my book on Kindle. It's available today, and you can also find me in coaching and free stuff at sophievenable.com. Thank you so much, Lynn, for being here. Come back again sometime.
Thank you.
And Todd, I'm stuck with you. I love you.
Sorry.
And thank you all for listening. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving, and I am grateful for you listening.
Hey, this is Sophie Venable, and thanks for listening to MILF Talk.
You're welcome. There you go.